Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
So we're talking about more, more, more. We all like more. You guys agree with that? We all like more. So we've been in this series called Chasing Carrots. And it's in this series that we understand that we as human beings, we have this funny trait about wanting to pursue more. Wanting this endless pursuit of more. If we just had one more thing, Then maybe we'd finally have it together. If we just had that one more thing, if we made a little bit more money, if I had this tool, if I had this, then perhaps I would be satisfied. I mean, that's the common attitude among many of us, right? I told you last week, I was that person growing up. I still am. You know, if I feel like if I just had that basketball shoe or that piece of equipment, then I would take my game to the next level. If I just had this. Now I tell myself, I walk into Lowe's and I said, if I just had that piece of DeWalt piece of equipment, I would be a better carpenter. You know, and everyone knows that's a lost cause, all right? I did build a cornhole set, all right, so just thank you very much. And I haven't finished it yet, but it's got a great start. I'm gonna take it to Kyle's house, let him finish it. But but we just, you know, we have this one, we got always for this endless pursuit of more. There are things we chase that we never get enough of. More stuff, more likes on social media, more comfort, more validation. And ultimately, there's nothing in this world that will bring true satisfaction without Christ in our lives. But with Christ, without Christ, we cannot be content. That's the whole thrust of the series that we're in. And so last week, we looked at the endless pursuit of fame. And I realized that most of us here, we're not looking to be some famous actor or some famous singer. And so last week when you knew that we were unpacking the endless pursuit of fame, you're like, that doesn't really apply to us. But here's the thing, we forget about this. If we're promoting ourselves and our interest more than Jesus, more than his kingdom, then we have to admit that we are pursuing some sort of form of fame. Remember last week, we ended with this conclusion that it's all about more of him and less of us. More of him and less of us. And so today we're going to talk about everyone's favorite topic in church. The topic that you woke up this morning and everyone, every single one of you said, oh, I just hope that at church this morning, I just hope that the pastor is going to talk about money. I just love and I love and I love when the pastor talks about money. I just know that. I know that. I, every one of you guys, you woke up this morning, that was the first thing you thought of. Like, man, I hope David preaches on money. That's always exciting. Our favorite topic in church. Raise your hand if you're rich. Raise your hand, man, if you're just rich. I mean, you can just do anything. I mean, you just raise your hand. Nobody? But I said, if you raise your hand, I was going to show you this envelope board in the back. I'm joking. Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of a weird question, right? It's something that we're a little uncomfortable talking about. We don't like to talk about money. Raise your hand if you know someone that's rich. Say, yeah, you live in Canada. You know someone that's rich. Come on, y'all. I mean, it ain't us, but it's somebody we know, all right? We live in Camden. Come on. When I moved here, the district superintendent in the interview said, he asked the board to go around the table and say, tell David something about Camden. Tell him something about the city of Camden and the church. And I forget who it was. It may have been, it sounded like something Stephanie would have said. And and she said, well, Camden's old money and no money, and we're the no money side of town. And I said, well, I knew that. I knew that going in because I'm a Nazarene. So Nazarenes are always in the no money side of town. That's just kind of how we operate. But yeah, so we all know someone who's rich. Raise your hand if you know someone who is rich and you think that they don't do rich very well. You could do it better than they do, right? Yeah, absolutely. You know someone who's rich and you're like, man, they don't do it right at all. I found this interesting questionnaire that is actually a radio station out in the Midwest did one time. They asked, what would you do for $5 million? What would you do for $5 million? Ask that yourself that question. Now, of the people who were asked here, 54% of them said, 54% of the people asked said they would listen to country music for the rest of their life for $5 million. Sign me up. I mean, I'm already there. Listen to country for the rest of my life? Sure. That's a low number. 54%? I mean, there's 40-some-odd percent of people that they just disguise country music that much. But who would not have a problem with that? Where's my... Barb, you went to the Alan Jackson concert last night, so I know you'd be good with that, Lane. 54%. Some of you are like, I couldn't even do that. 42% people said, of the folks asked by this radio station, 42% said they would have all of their teeth pulled out for $5 million. They would have all of their teeth extracted for $5 million. Now, this next one's really sad. It really kind of shows the demise of our society. 50% said they would allow one random person to die in the world for $5 million. I'm like, ooh. Now, we got to pray about that. 24% said that they would live in solitude for the next 20 years for $5 million. There's a couple of you, and I know who you are, you would be like, sign me up. I got it under control. Solitude for 20 years, sign me up. I hate people anyway. There's a few of you out there. I would try it, but after like week number one, I would say, all right. Everybody's like, one? You can go that far? But anytime we're talking about money, I think it's important that we put it all into perspective. We've got to put it all into perspective because we hear a message like this. We hear a message about money and about rich, and we're gonna unpack some scripture with Jesus talking to rich people. And we hear a message like this, and we say, yeah, man, those rich people, they're evil. They're bad. They do need to get their act together. So I think it's important for us to put this in perspective. Sometimes we forget that money and stuff is all about perspective. In fact, I'm convinced that a key part to understanding our call to be generous is understanding just how blessed you and I are. Just how blessed you and I are. So that's the question we have to define. What is rich? There was a Gallup poll one time that asked the question, what is rich? And as you can imagine, the answer to the question varied based on who they would ask the question to. So for those, they asked a group of people who made about a median income of $30,000 a year. They asked, what was rich? And they said, if they made $74,000 a year, they would consider that rich. Now, some of you in this room are there, some of you are not. But you kind of get where I'm trying to go. So someone who's making $30,000, and my very first job out of college, my very first real job out of college, I went to work for the YMCA. And, man, they come to me and say, well, we're going to offer you a job. And I was like, oh, man, it was like officially had a piece of paper they slid over the desk, you know. And I was like, man, this is moving up in the world. And they said, we want you to manage 1,200 participant soccer league, and we want you to manage a budget of several hundred thousand dollars. I'm like, oh man, this is sounding really good. We'll give you $25,000 a year. And at the time, I thought that was a big deal, and it still is a big deal, I would imagine, for some folks. But I mean, it's a big deal. But at the time, as you can imagine, I thought I was rich, right? Because I was just this poor college kid, you know. And I was like, $25,000 a year to hang out with sports and play basketball? Yeah, sure, no problem. And it's funny because I quickly realized, I went to go rent an apartment, and my dad finally said, hey, the insurance is yours, son. I'm like, okay, car insurance. And I was like, hey, I'm going to need some more money. Right? But, so what is rich? It's all about perspective. Those who made 50,000 in this Gallup poll, they said that 100,000 would be considered rich. Then they asked some of the top wage earners in the country. They asked them, what do you consider to be rich? And they said $5 million in assets is considered rich. Which, I mean, I would agree with that. However, I'm cool with $2 million in assets. That's fine too. You know, it's all about perspective. You see these athletes, they'll sign these contracts and they'll say, well, they offer me $80 million to go play football, but this team's offering $90 million, so I'm going to go over here. I'm like, is there a difference between $80 and $90 million? I mean, I know there is, but like for me, whatever I can do with $90, I can probably do with $80. You guys agree with me on that? I think we're all on that same boat. It's all about perspective. Well, what does all this tell us? It tells us that the definition of rich, it's a moving line. If our focus in life is the pursuit of money and possessions, then it will definitely be an endless pursuit of more. If our main focus is trying to always reach this financial goal, if we are so consumed with this financial goal, I got news for you. It's going to be an endless pursuit. It's always going to be a carrot that is right in front of you, and you think that you're almost there, and guess what? Then the line of what you think is rich or the line of what you think is comfortable then moves. I believe this is why Jesus talked about money so much. You know, Jesus talked more about money than any other topic, any other subject. I mean, money and greed, it was something that he talked about a lot, and it was something that he would always preface his statements with beware of or watch out. Anytime he was speaking to the crowd, he was speaking to the Pharisees, speaking to a rich young ruler, whatever it may be, whatever it is, he would always say, beware, watch out, watch out. Look what he says here in Luke chapter 12, verses 15. It says, then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. It's almost like Jesus is saying, watch out for those carrots in front of us, which seem so close, you'll never catch them. Jesus, he was speaking to a crowd about money in Luke 12, and he tells a story about a farmer who had an unbelievable year. This farmer, he had a bumper crop. He had yielded more crop than any other year. And he tells a story how the farmer says, man, I got all this extra stuff. What shall I do? I'm going to construct brand new barns. I'm going to construct a brand new facility because I've got to store all of this grain, all of this stuff. And at first you may say, well, pastor seems like a logical, you know, he was diversifying. He was expanding operations. At first it's easy to see that. But Jesus wants to teach us something totally different from that. This is what the response is to the farmer in this story. Look at verses 20 and 21 of Luke 12. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. That's the key here. I don't think God was upset with the farmer that he had a great year. Because guess what? It was God who blessed that farmer to have a great year. I don't think that he was not upset that he was blessed. He was not upset that he had a great year. The issue was that he was not rich towards God. He had this great crop and he didn't stop and say, well, Lord, this is unusual. How do you want me to glorify you in this? How do you want me to bless other people? What do you want me to do with this high yield crop? What do you want me to do that's going to bring glory to your kingdom? Lord, how can I be rich towards you in this season of blessing? I really believe that was the issue here. Again, all blessing, it comes from God. You may say, well, I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. No, you're not. God made you. We are made in the image of God. Whatever talent you have, whatever ability you have, it comes from God. So we're called to be rich towards God. So I have some bad news and I got some good news this morning. So what do you want first? Well, we're going to go with the good news first because that's how I got it written. But I got some great news. This is exciting, especially for people in East Camden. You're going to love this news. You're going to just love it. I mean, it's just going to make your day. I got good news. Here it is. You are rich.
Amen.
You are rich. You're like, I'm not rich. I'm not rich. It's all about perspective, what the definition of rich is. It's all about perspective, and I'm here to tell you that you are rich. You know how I know? Because this morning you woke up in the United States of America. And this isn't a hoo-ha about, you know, country. I'm just saying the reality of it is we live in a very blessed nation. You woke up in a country where, well, first of all, you woke up and you were in a bed. And your furnace or your air, well, we are in the air now? Whatever season it is, you woke up and you had climate control to the dwelling in which you woke up in. You woke up and you had a blanket over your body. You woke up and you went to the restroom and you hit this little nozzle and clean water came out. You woke up and you were able to use the restroom there in your house, not outside. And you're like, David, you're really getting out overboard here. But it's the truth, y'all. It is the truth. I don't care how much money you make or you don't make, we have got to realize that we are a very rich people. We are a blessed, blessed people. I mean, think about all the first world problems that stress you out. Maybe you were on Amazon looking at something, and you found something, and it was all exciting, and then you realize, not eligible for Amazon Prime. I'm going to have to pay for shipping, and it's going to get here in 5 days instead of two. Those are our problems, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe you went to go watch Netflix, and it buffered for 20 seconds. You're like, what is wrong with this thing? I'm canceling my Netflix subscription. Today, when you leave, when I finally shut up and stop preaching and we get out of here, you're going to get in a car and you're going to drive and you're going to go to the restaurant of your choice. And honestly, it's going to stress you out. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want? I don't know. Doesn't matter to me. Well, let's go here. I don't like that. I thought you said it didn't matter to you. Well, I don't like that. Next week, we're doing a sermon series on marriage and relationships. Yeah, we are a very blessed people. We are rich. And I think it's okay to have a healthy perspective on that. It's okay to have a healthy perspective that we are blessed. You see, the beginning to being generous is understanding that we have been blessed by God. Being satisfied begins with understanding that everything comes from God. You show me someone who's stingy and tight-fisted, and I'll show you someone who's always complaining about, well, I ain't got enough money. I don't have enough. We ain't got enough. You know, always complain about not having this, that, or the other. You show me a generous person, I'll show you someone who has a different perspective. Not just on money, but on time, on stuff, on material things. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:19. This beautiful piece of wisdom literature says, moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, accept their lot and be happy in their toil. This is a gift of God. I think it's okay to admit and to understand that we are blessed people. There's some people who struggle with that. You ever know someone who cries poor mouth all the time? Well, I ain't got no money, but I ain't got no money, preacher. You know, and then they walk out and they jump in their 2019 like Silverado HD 2500, you know, or whatever. Well, we struggling out there on the farm at preacher. We struggling. You got like 10 tractors and like 20 trucks, man. What are you doing? I think it's okay to understand that we are a blessed people. I got some bad news for you, too. So I got a good news. I got some bad news for you, too. You're rich. Being rich is a spiritual disadvantage. I'm convinced of that. We say it's a blessing to live in the USA. And it is. It's a blessing. But it's also a curse. It's also a spiritual disadvantage to be as well off as we are sometimes. Look at Luke 18, 24 through 25. A rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I can obey all the laws. I know the law. I have it memorized. Jesus, what must I do? I want to make sure I've got it down because I'm really good at keeping the law. So, Lord Jesus, will you affirm to me that I'm doing all the good things and so I can inherit eternal life? Jesus looks at him and says, that's all good. Keep it up. Also, sell all that you have and give to the poor. Scripture says that the rich young ruler, he looked very sad and he walked away. So, and this is the way, look at verse 24. How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Sometimes our abundance can keep us from really understanding the kingdom of God. Our abundance, our blessing, if we're not careful, can keep us from seeing people through the eyes of God, can keep us from seeing our community through the eyes of God. It can keep us from seeing those who are hurting through the eyes of God. Those of you who have been on a missions trip overseas to a developing nation, you understand this. You've seen this. You see, as you move into a different world, a different society, a world in which they don't have Amazon Prime, they don't have Netflix, that's not something that they're concerned about. And after about a day of adjusting to it, you begin to realize, well, it's kind of a lot less stressful over here. It's a lot more, a little more relaxing over here, and everyone's not all uptight. You begin to understand, and you say, man, these people have so much joy, and there's something about these people that's just a little bit different. And our Western stuck-up mind, we're thinking, man, how can they be so happy? They don't have Netflix. They don't have Amazon Prime. But you come to find out that they have more joy than we do. Think about all the stress that our stuff can cause us. When was the last time you prayed the Lord's Prayer and you got to the part, Lord, give us this day our daily bread? And you really had to pray, like you really prayed that because you had to pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread. When was the last time you had to fervently pray that? And you literally, Lord, had to answer that prayer in order for you to eat the next day or the next hour. You see, when we go into other cultures, there are people who are literally praying that prayer. And it's not some spiritual hyperbole. It's not some sort of overtone, Lord, give us today our daily bread. I mean, there are people that their very survival, they are dependent upon God. And I'm convinced of this, that our abundance and our blessing, I think it really keeps us from really understanding what it is to be dependent upon God. I mean, think about all the things that are at our fingertips. Went on a missions trip to Mexico years ago. And I'll never forget, there are the ladies there in Monterrey, Mexico. They were in charge of feeding us, and of course we brought some of the food, but they would make us bologna sandwiches and for lunch and some other things, and you could just the joy that was on their face, the joy that was on these ladies' faces just to be able to serve, just to be able to give. And then before we left, they threw us a huge party, a huge fiesta. I mean, it had tamales and I mean all kind of stuff. I mean, just it was awesome. And just the joy that was on their face. And these are people who, I doubt they had enough money to really throw that party. But they took so much joy in that, in giving. They took so much joy in being generous. So I think we need to be mindful of this. This will be on the screen. We don't need more of what is temporary, but we need more of what is eternal. We don't need more of what is temporary. We don't need more carrots that are just kind of out there and we're just kind of chasing at them. But we need to invest. We need more in what is eternal. You see, because it's easy to fall into the trap that money solves your problems. It's easy to fall into the trap, well, money's going to solve all their problems. Guess what? Money is not going to make sure that your kids grew up to love Jesus. Money is not going to ensure that your kids grow up and they understand what it is to be good citizens and to be generous and to love Jesus. More money is not going to heal whatever sickness that you have. Money is not going to solve your issue with depression. Money is not going to save your marriage. We can't rely on just on what is temporary, but we need more and more of Jesus. We need more of understanding that all the blessings that we have, it all comes from Him. And we need to build our lives upon that. Build our lives not upon what the checkbook says, but build our lives upon what Jesus says and His kingdom. Build our lives upon being people of generosity, people of compassion, people who love. So I said, bad news, we're rich. Because guess what? With this blessing comes a great responsibility. With this blessing comes a great responsibility. The Apostle Paul was saying something similar to, as he was writing to Timothy, as he was giving Timothy some instructions there where he was ministering. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Stop right there. So again, I want you to see this. Being blessed is not bad. Being rich is not bad. Doing well at your profession, doing well at your job, working hard. Those are not bad things, folks. Those are blessings. And God just is asking us and reminding us to put that into perspective too. It could be that God is blessing us because He wants us to leverage that blessing for someone else. Maybe it's not all for us. And He goes on to say, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. He says, in the same way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You see what Paul's saying there? He's telling them, hey, tell those blessed, Timothy, tell those blessed folks in your church, tell those people who are good at what they do, tell those people who are great at farming, they're great at selling cloth, they're great at making tents. Tell those people to don't put all their eggs in that one basket. Tell them that all of this is really just superficial. All of this is really just temporary. That if they really want to see the life that is the true life, then tell them not to lay up their treasure here. But to lay up their treasure on a firm foundation. So as we begin to wrap this up, I want to challenge you with a few things. We're blessed. So I think we need to do something that matters. We need more of what is eternal. I think we need to be generous to the church. I think we need to recognize that the church is belongs to God. That when you look at a world that needs redemption, when you look at a world that needs to experience the life transformation of Jesus Christ, it is the church that this is who we are. This is our mission. Not to be a country club, but to be a people who simply gather and say, you know what? I agree that our world needs Jesus. And these are the people that I want to work with to show Jesus to our community. So I think we need to be more supportive of our church. Whether that comes out in tithing, some of you guys are faithful with the Lord's tithe. And I'm not going to belabor this, because I purposely didn't want to kind of go this route. Everyone here knows and understand we're a church that believes in tithing. We believe it's a biblical principle. At the same time, I'm also someone who just says, listen, the Lord wants you to be generous. For us, we see tithe, we see a 10%. Just, hey, that's just where God, that's just a good principle to live by. It's a principle that helps you put your money, it helps you put money first. It helps you put God first in your finances, excuse me. It's a foundational and a basic principle that says, I'm going to trust in God in all areas of my life. And it could be a 10%. Lord, I say, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't know if I can do that. I tell people all the time, I think the Lord wants you to begin with being systematically generous. Find out where you can be systematic in your giving. But I will say this, the Lord will stretch you. The Lord will move you and push you to be more and more generous. And now I'll say this to those who see, because tithing can also be used. It can be a curse in this. That people can sit back like the rich young ruler and say, well, I tithe, I got it down. I'm good, right, preacher? I mean, I've got it down. That what else do you need me to do? And we forget that that's not the ceiling of what God will have you to do. It's just the floor. It's just, there's so much more than just crossing off a list and checking a box. How does God want to use you with your time and with the talents that you have? Maybe the Lord wants you to serve. He wants you to reach out to someone in compassion. To reach out and to go and to serve someone who perhaps they make you a little uncomfortable. Just remember, folks, money is a moving target. Money is a moving target. There's a story that's told about the industrialist age, the Andrew Carnegie era of the Industrial Revolution, and there was a time where a very select group of people were just getting rich. One of them was asked, how much is enough? How much is enough? And the answer was a little bit more. A little bit more. These are individuals. These were, you know, they were just in the Industrial Revolution, just making millions and millions at a time, which that was just unheard of. And for them, enough was just a little bit more. Y'all, money and possessions, it's a moving target. It's a moving target. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:10. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Y'all, this isn't a guilt trip. If I want to do a guilt trip, I would have done the offering after my sermon. You guys who know me, I don't operate like that. That's not what we're about. We talk about money regularly because, one, Jesus talked about it a lot, so there must be something here. Two, it's the key to your heart. It is what pulls the heartstrings. And so as believers, as Christians, as those who proclaim Christ as Lord, we have to be a constant journey of saying, Lord, help me. I don't want to ever live my life to where the checkbook is dictating everything that we do. Lord, help me to be reliant upon you. Lord, help me to pray prayers like, give us the day our daily bread. And for us to really mean those prayers. Lord, help me, help us to build our life. To build our life upon you. This is what messages like this are all about. Church isn't we're not in financial crisis. Brandy doesn't have to round up some money to go pay some bills. We're far from that. So it's not about that. It's about our heart. And it's about making sure that Jesus is King and Lord of our lives in every area, and that we are building our lives upon Him. Would you stand with us? Let's sing as we prepare to dismiss.
My eyes.
Father, Lord, we want to be a people, Lord, in which we build our life upon you. We build our lives upon your love, and Lord, about what your kingdom is all about. Lord, in a world that says that our lives are to be built upon a checkbook or what the IRA says or what the 401k is or what the stock market is doing, in a world that says you build your life upon those things, Lord, we as believers, we want to take a step back and we want to buck the system. We want to say, no, those are all temporary things. Lord, we know the line of possession and the line of greed and the line of money. It's a line that just keeps on moving. Of course, Lord, you call us to be good stewards. You call us to work hard. When you bless us with a trade or with an ability, Lord, we are to, it is a good witness to do those things to the best of our ability. But Lord, may we be mindful first that maybe, you give us those abilities so that we can leverage that to do work for your kingdom, to show love to someone who feels unloved, to reach out, to make a difference in our community. So Lord, help us to do those things. Help us to be a people of generosity, to be a people who are not so consumed with those types of things. Lord, help us to have a healthy perspective of what it is to be rich, what it is to be blessed. And Lord, also to realize the responsibility that comes with those things. Well, I pray for each and every one individual here, Lord, in a room this size. I get it. There, even though we live in the USA, I know there are people in this room who are struggling. There are people who are financially struggling. And Lord, I don't ever want to dismiss that. I don't ever want to think that that's not important. So Lord, I pray that you would be with those individuals, Lord, that you would move in their lives in a real way. Reveal yourself to them. Help them and let them see what it is to put our trust in you. Father, I thank you for those who are here. I pray that you will move in our lives this week. Put someone in our path this week that needs to experience the kingdom of God. And Lord, may it be us that demonstrates the kingdom to them this week. Lord, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen. Would you go in grace? Would you go in peace? Have a great day.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.